Hey everyone, I know we're still all going through it right now. It's crazy times, but I'm sending my love. I hope you guys are all staying safe, washing your hands, finding toilet paper, anything that you need. We are not making light of this situation. We just want to give you some laughs and a little bit of joy, and hopefully we make you smile. So listen to this podcast today. And again, we're all thinking about you. We're reaching out, sending our love and anything that you need. And if you guys need anything at all, don't be afraid to message us. We'd love to hear from you.
This is Playing Around with Paige Renee.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. Play around with Paige Renee, PG. What do we got today?
We're doing all things social media.
Oh, and you're the master.
I don't know about that.
Well, we're going to find out, right?
We're going to find out. So we have been getting a ton of DMs and emails. We're going to go through them today. And I also made a very bad mistake of saying that
I like when she makes mistakes. It means it's juicy.
I love creepy guys, if you guys remember that. These creepers have been taking full advantage of seeing where my line is.
We tried to warn you. Josh and I were like,
listen.
This
is not good. This isn't going to go well.
And you were like, bring them in. I love them all.
Wait, so now are you still like, we'll go through it all, but are you still a creep fan?
Oh, they hold a special place in my heart.
Oh!
I will say her Instagram followers are a little creepy.
They're the best.
And I can justify that because now that you've pawned some off to me.
Yes.
It's been
are they now pro Tory?
So after one of the episodes, and we were talking about how we were going to find Tory a man, and I was getting flooded with DMs like, "What does she look like? What does she look like? I need to see a picture of her right now.
Glad
link her Instagram."
All not shallow.
Well, they were like, "Cause you sound so lovely."
Oh sure.
Oh
sure,
yeah,
sure.
Whatever, Tori. Like
and
you
so
don't care what a guy looks like.
I text Tori and I was like, "Do you mind if I link a picture from your Instagram?" And she's like, "Yeah, of course." And so I put a picture up, and flooded with DMs.
It went downhill.
And you said they all.
Can
slid
I just tell you one?
Yeah, I want to hear one.
But wait. Just for the listeners out there, I saw the picture. It is a beautiful picture. It is a very accurate picture
of me?
Of Pro Tour Tori.
It was between that one or you and your super suit. I thought about it for a long time.
Oh my gosh, I would have loved that.
I want to see your super suit.
I was Frozone.
Well, I know. With Samuel Jackson, right? Where's my super suit?
Exactly.
Okay,
so this is from one charming fellow. A little birdie told me you like married men that golf and have creepy, cheesy pickup lines. I've got some news from you. I am married. I play golf and I sure, and you are, wait, and this guy can't spell. And are you sure you aren't all four majors because you are a grand slam?
Boom! Welcome to the creep.
Just to make it clear, everyone, I like my man single. Thank you.
That is amazing.
It's a pretty bad one.
How did we get
Could
on
you imagine
that?
His mom or his mom, his wife and mom, both of them. You would not want your mom or your wife seeing that.
No.
I think I might have one up you though with the creepy DMs.
I can't wait.
Yeah. So I got a DM from this guy, and he sent me a couple DMs before, and they were very normal messages, like, you look very nice today, that dress looks good on you.
Very what we like for
you. I post my dog all the time, and he called me, he's like, your dog, he's in the background squeaking on a toy right now. We all love Nico.
Thank God you didn't say it was me.
So I posted about my dog, and he was like, your dog is very cute. The most normal of normal messages I could possibly get. And so he sent another one. He said, I really loved your last episode, loving the podcast.
Great.
And there there was a message, a picture, and I couldn't, it was blurred yet, because you have to click on it to see
it
what it
says,
is.
Like, do you approve
do
this
you approve
photo
this
or
photo?
Something?
And I was
blurry photo.
It's such a roulette.
Here we go.
It is. And you don't know what you're going to get. Sometimes, like, I'll click on it, I'll be like, flowers.
Yeah,
and then, in this case, I clicked on it, and it was his dick. And it was this picture of him, a full selfie.
Wait. Face included?
From face to about bottom of the knee.
Identity.
Clearly, he doesn't like the podcast enough because episode 3 specifically tells you do not put your face
not
in
it. Put your face in it. Learn from my mistakes, guys.
Oh my God.
So he had just dick out, but this was the creepy part.
It was
Okay.
He had a shirt on.
He was Porky Pigging it?
He was Porky Pigging it. But it was the way that the shirt was set. It wasn't like it was short enough where the full dick was in it. It was like half covering it. So you just saw kind of like the tip of the dick and then the balls were hanging.
You guys got to see her hands the way she's doing
she's
it.
She's showing like, us by like visually she has showing
man,
it.
Man junk. She's well, like the tip and then the
balls. Have you seen that meme where it's like if girls were guys for a day and it's this baby elephant like throwing her trunk around? That would be me. Like I would just be like, what does this thing do?
Wait, so wait. Dare I ask, but how did it look?
You know, I will say I've seen a lot of dicks in my DM.
I'm sure.
In my day. And it was good. It was like I didn't see all of it because the shirt was half covering it. But it was a good looking dick. I mean, it's a dick. Like what?
Wait a second. So do you think he was trying to be creepy? Because you said he was a nice guy.
He seemed nice.
He seemed nice.
I didn't respond to the message. But he seemed like a nice guy, and I think he was like, she likes creepy guys, so I'm gonna do this.
He was like, being nice hasn't worked, so maybe I put the creepy into effect and see if I get a reaction.
Yeah, girl, Paige, you're turning all these nice guys into creeps.
Wait, can we guess what he looked like? Because I have an idea in my head.
Okay.
I totally have an idea, too.
He's got brown hair.
I don't think I can say yes or no, but all at the end, I'll see who's fine. Closer.
You can see who's the closest. Yeah, yeah. Dark brown hair and like kind of shoulder length long hair, like scruff, a little scruff. And I'm describing that as maybe he's not clean cut, but he's obviously confident enough to be sending a picture. And
Tori's then weirdly describing her dream man right now.
Oh no, do not send dick pics to me, please. And then like a weird tie dye shirt, but tie dye's in, like Justin Bieber wears tie dye. So like kind of like a trendy tie dye that is just right on that cutoff line.
Don't say cutoff line. It's not a cutoff, ever.
Well.
Okay, so I think you're wrong. I think this guy has got a, disheveled.
Josh is standing up now. This is serious business.
Disheveled, like, straw-colored hair with that's a bad haircut, like a, you know, a really crooked cut. And he's got some sort of either acne or scar, maybe even an earring. One.
No earring. And for then, sure,
hey,
no
I
earring.
Didn't talk when you pro tour. And then his shirt's like, it's almost like beige between beige and light brown so that it's kind of looks dirty and you're not sure if it is dirty and old or if it's just bought that way, but it's got a rip near the shoulder and it's like, you know, the hem of the shirt has folded up one because it's been, it's been used so many times.
I'll say you were fairly close on the shirt, but Pro Tour won overall description.
Yeah,
the details on the fold was right on, but she wins full description.
How long do you think he like looked for the right shirt for this?
Honestly, I think he just like whipped his pants off and was like, "Okay, we're good to go."
I don't know. I think it was. Oh, what was the background? Was it a bathroom? Was it a den? Was it a bedroom?
I don't really remember.
I kind of picture it like
too busy looking at his dick.
Living room?
You're like a living room space.
Like what is the good room to show your dick?
None.
That wasn't the way to go, but I did get a creepy pickup line. That was one of the best pickup lines I've heard in a long time.
Okay, I do have a couple more to follow because I have good ones too. Okay, maybe we have Josh pick which one is his favorite.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, the golf course is, this is from Coach Barden. The golf course is definitely the best place for a woman to drop a line. So this is coming from the girls, which I liked. I see you have a stiff shaft there. I'm going to say it in like kind of a sexy voice. I love your technique. You like a strong grip. I love watching you pound it.
Oh my God.
If you're on the driving range.
Oh my God, Pro Tour.
Did you like any of those?
You could do phone sex.
Definitely not. I would like to make another income other ways. Thank you, though.
Okay, but that was really good.
Do you have more?
Do you have more? Balls and holes and shafts. I've heard most of them, but okay. I just really like the way Pro Tour said them.
So this one is mine. Do I have to? I don't have a sexy voice though.
Yes, you do.
But it's Paige. You are sexy.
Okay.
Yeah.
But my voice I think is the weak part of.
Well, then try me. And go lower. Try and speak from the diaphragm. Go lower. Like make it almost comical, and then we'll work on it. I used to do voiceover. I can help you. Stand up. Stand up. Okay. Yeah.
So this is, we're hold on, pause.
Hold on.
Voice.
Yeah. Hold on, pause. Yeah. I got to get
so, like, Kathleen Turner, like that scratchy low. Try and get as low and scratchy as you can. Yes, you could. You could do this. You could do this. Just go low. You're not.
I'm sorry. I can't laugh.
Take a deep breath. Deep breath. You got this. You got this.
Can you do Kelly?
Oh! You're on.
I felt it.
You're totally on to something.
Oh, okay. Can you do so telekinesis? Is really hard to say sexy.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Can you do telekinesis? Because you've made a part of my body move without even touching it.
Oh! How sexy did that sound? And telekinesis.
What a word, right?
What a nice little pervy thing. Wait, so talking about a moving boner.
Coach Barden or her DM?
Oh, dude. The boner. The telekinesis.
That's a good one, right?
It was actually out of this world.
Everything else I've heard a million times. You always hear about shafts and grips and balls and holes.
I'm more impressed with my low sexy voice.
Got something.
I think, should I just talk like that all the time?
Well, do a shout out to someone that you really want to give a shout out to in a sexy voice. Like, whatever, okay. One of your sponsors, like right now.
I'll think of a better one, because I don't think my sponsors want a sexy shout out from me.
Why not? Okay. Why would they pick you?
Wait, I'm ready.
I mean,
I gotta stand up again,
okay,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Speak from the diaphragm. Not the, yeah.
Okay. Hey, dick picture.
Why did not think of it?
I just wanted to give you a sexy shout out. I loved your t-shirt. It was gently caressing your dick.
Oh my God.
Is that good?
That is exceptional.
Okay, good.
Oh my God. You should have called him Porky Pig.
Porky Pig. Shout out Porky Pig.
This went places I didn't even know could
go. Oh my
go.
God. PG. So PG to triple X right there. That was lovely.
Social media is a really great place where you can have a lot of fun, get some DMs, awesome DMs. And I want everyone to know that we're actually looking at all of the messages. We love when you write in, so keep on doing that. And it's fun. Like, we love when you can make social media fun, because I know the other side of it when you're getting into Twitter fights with people.
Yeah, oh, but you, no. Man, I watched it. I felt a little bad. Like, I was like, should I jump in here? And then I looked and I was like, nope, you had that handled.
Sometimes I just wake up in a mood. I'm like, today is a day to be petty. And I'll just find, I'll just search for like a random tweet. And I'm like,
go pick a fight.
Yeah, I'm like picking a fight.
Like Braveheart. I'm going to go pick a fight.
Who called me a whore today?
Nice.
You're
oh,
going
by the way,
down.
I'm sure you're not going to get into the one I was thinking that I love, though, was when someone said, blah, 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 blah. What's wrong with this girl? And you put a lot. I loved that one. I loved that one.
That really resonates.
That's just the truth.
I mean, it was really fun. That was, but you crushed this week on Twitter.
Yeah, no, we're going to talk about that because I had some fun with it.
Yes,
we got into it. It was dirty. I got dirty.
I love that. I like when Paige gets a little dirty. And we also have TNA.
Can you say that in a sexy voice?
Yeah.
I just love it when Paige.
It's like you just went off into the ether.
We can add sexy voice to Tori's resume for this guy that we're trying to hook her up with.
Do we have a specific guy? Have we talked about this yet?
I coronavirus is really just jamming my game.
Yeah, it is jamming your game. It is true. Like, we'll talk about the most unsexiest time to date someone.
Or if you have, like, if you're in quarantine, and I'm not making light, but, like, if you have an attractive doctor, that could be the time. Or think about if we're all in quarantine, how many babies are going to be made?
Well, we were talking about that the other day. It's
so
gonna
many
be
babies.
Corona babies.
Yeah, for sure. Cute. Cute.
Corona baby's kind of fun.
Yeah. But, you know, no baby making for me. Anyway, so stay tuned. We got some TNA after the Twitter fight. So pour a cup of tea, because Paige is about to spill
it. Serve
it. We'll work on that one next time.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Social media wars are very intense.
Man,
and you I was in them deep.
And you're a pro at social media, so this was like Battle of the Titans. This was like the heavyweight fight.
Wasn't that serious, but... Okay.
Well, I was setting some drama.
Golf Twitter, especially, is the worst. The worst of the worst.
You think it's worse than, like, any other Twitter? I tried to think of a better example.
Like a Real Housewives.
Yeah, exactly.
Dinner.
Bravo Twitter. Dinner. Bravo Twitter.
Or politics.
I think it's pretty close to politics. It's
what?
It's bad and it's crazy and it's weird. So I have been getting in fights with a lot of people on Twitter.
Wait, why? Where's your headspace in?
At the end of episode 4 of the podcast, it was the anxiety episode, but the very end, I went on this rant about how I hate golf, how it's elitist, how it's exclusive.
And the tank tops.
The hypocrisy in golf. And at the end, I said it in jest. I was like, and they hate me because of my cleavage. So then it got picked up by news sites. And the New York Post said, it's a picture of me with my cleavage out. And it says, I'm a golf outcast because of my cleavage. And everyone was commenting on it. In golf, basically saying that if I don't like the way I'm perceived, then I need to dress differently.
Right.
And most of the people just read the headline and they didn't actually either listen to the podcast episode or they didn't click on the actual article where it explained everything. Yeah. And obviously, I'm not just feeling that way because of my cleavage. Like, that's kind of stupid. But at the same time, it's also... real. I mean, there's nothing else that I have done in my career that would make people feel this way towards me. Before this podcast, I've never cussed before. I've never said anything that would make people feel a certain way about me, except for dress codes. I have never been in trouble. I've never been arrested. I've never done drugs. I barely drank, except for like in college. So why do I feel this way? Has to be because of my cleavage.
Right.
I can't think of any other reasons.
Right.
So this guy, he wrote bitter hashtag Paige Sporanic, he spelled my name wrong, needs to decide whether she's a golfer or just another titty insta babe craving attention. Here's a suggestion, Paige. Stick with Instagram. Golf can evolve and progress without you. Hashtag drive on.
Oh my God. You had a great comment.
So then I didn't see this at first because he spelled my name wrong. And so someone tagged me in it and they said, tag her next time. Don't be a coward. And this is one thing that I really hate. If you're going to come after me, tag me.
At least
give me the chance to respond. But the fact that you're not even tagging me or spelling my name wrong, I can't come after you then, or I can't have a voice or I can't have an opinion while you're just saying whatever you want to say.
Right. So Twitter fight rule.
Twitter fight rule, tag me in it. So
if
I
you
want to
get a fight with someone, at least tag them.
So I retweeted it and I said, one, he proves my point exactly. So thank you, Mike, because I said that I just feel excluded all the time. And no matter what I do, it's never good enough and they don't want my help. So he proved my point. And I said, two, talk about hypocrisy. We are showing the same amount of cleavage in our profile pictures. Not my fault. I just fill mine out better. So this guy's profile picture, he has his shirt unbuttoned down almost to his belly button.
It's like a cheesy Hawaiian shirt vibe.
And it's just his chest is out. And I'm like, do you not see what I'm saying? And people are like, well, it's different because you're a woman. I'm like, yeah, no
hate
shit.
That.
Okay.
That's like the worst thing to say right now. We're in 2020, people.
And then number three, at least spell my name right if you're going to insult me.
Like, so I was watching all of this, Paige, and I wanted to kick in. And then I looked more and I read all the threads and I was like, I don't need to step in at all. You were handling yourself during this melee so well. I was like so proud.
Thank
I was like,
you.
Yeah, because and the other thing I thought of was like in my head, like my old school Sports Illustrated models, right?
Yeah.
The Elle McPherson, Kathy Ireland, Stephanie Seymour, right? We used to get in fights over who was the hottest in college, right? But I was like, I follow, call it titty girls or whatever you call it, Insta girls,
Insta titty babe,
that don't have half the fight. I mean, I'm like, this is, I loved it.
Well, I think it's frustrating for me because they're only, the only thing they can say back to me is, "We'll cover up."
Yeah.
Why? And they also say, well, if you were a serious golfer, then you would be respected. What makes a serious golfer? That is one thing that drives me insane. So I had a series of tweets and I said, in episode 4 of my podcast, I vented about the golf industry and I'm getting a lot of heat for it, which I expected. Not surprisingly, guys are calling me a whore and saying I need to show less cleavage. In parentheses, I said, ew, boring. But also that if I was a better golfer, then I'd be respected. And then after that, I said, which doesn't make sense to me. I'd still be the same person if I was winning on tour or doing media like I am now. Nothing would be different. I would dress the same. I would act exactly the same. So I have a question. Why are we more lenient towards someone or view them differently if they are very successful in their field of work? Does being a winner hold more weight than being a good person?
It's a great point.
And it does. We tend to look at these athletes who have accomplished so much and they deserve the accolades and they deserve the praise. But then we seem to discount things that have happened in their personal life. Yet, because I haven't won, I can't pose in a bikini. So if I won the US Open, then would I be able to pose in a bikini? Would that be okay? Or if I do this, can I get a DUI and am I fine then? Or can I do this or can I do that? There's so many things that people have done. And I am never one to judge. We are all human. We're all going to make mistakes. But you can't hold someone to a higher level because they're better at a sport or they've made more money in business or they've done all of this. They're a shitty human. They're a shitty human.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, you talk, it's so funny because you have these, I mean, we both know different stories about professional golfers and, you know, and they're
things that have happened in their personal life
where everyone has looked the other way. And I mean, look, you go far back as Arnie Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, and they have these, you know, the reporters then were all respectful and respected, but winners always get the best treatment. Always. They always get the best treatment.
And that, to me, I think is unfair, especially because someone will compare me to someone else who has had failures in their personal life. And again, I'm not judging. I'm going to mess up plenty of times in my life. We're all going to mess up. And I think we need to let someone learn from their mistakes and move on and be a better person. We can't hold that against them. But you can't say that I'm not respected because I haven't won. That doesn't make sense to me, especially if I'm doing media work and these are my opinions. It doesn't matter if I've played on tour or if I haven't. I have competed at a much higher level than a lot of people in golf media. And why are they allowed to be respected and I am not allowed to be respected for my opinion? And a lot of the hate that I was getting, they think it's from just this last 3 years of my life where I feel the most welcomed now than I ever have been.
Yeah, like you're actually winning.
They don't realize that this has been from the very beginning of when I played golf, and I didn't realize how, like, looking back on it now, how messed up a lot of the things were because I was so young. I'll show up at a golf course when I was 13 and guys would refuse to play with me because they thought I would be slow. So I would have to move to another group because guys didn't want to play golf with me. Or when I was playing a skins game with guys at the course and this guy would look at me after someone would hit a really good pitch shot or a chip shot or anything around the greens, and he'd look straight into me in the eye and he would say, "That guy has a touch of a pedophile," and wink at me. And I would laugh it off. Everyone in the group would laugh it off.
Wait, what?
Everyone would laugh it off. And there's things like that that have happened from the very beginning. Or when a guy came 3 holes over to tell me how to fill up a divot. You don't realize that this is what I've had to deal with. And I think a lot of people, especially in golf, and when I say that it's not inclusive, I'm telling it to people like that look like Josh, that are... you look like everyone else on the golf course. You know, I'm sure you go there and you never feel unwelcomed.
Absolutely. I know what you mean. Absolutely.
And so I'm talking to these guys who feel that way and they're like, "Well, I feel welcome, so everyone must feel welcomed." Mm-hmm. That's not the case at all. And if I go to a golf course in a turtleneck completely covered up, or if I'm wearing what I'm wearing now, I still am going to get the same response. They still don't want to play with me. They think that I'm slow. They think I'm going to be a bad player, that I don't know the rules, that I don't know what I'm doing, and that they can make these like skeezy remarks, and that they can, you know, touch me inappropriately and do all these things. I'm like, that's not cool. So when I'm saying this stuff, it's not because of what's happening right now. I feel the most accepted that I've ever been. It's what has happened to me my entire time that I've been in golf.
So you're saying that it actually is getting better.
I believe that it is getting better, because now that I do have a voice. And so when I say things on Twitter and I'm defending myself, a lot of people are supporting me now. And I know that I have a ton of people behind me who have my back. And regardless of people in the industry, believe it or not, I think they see the followers that I have and that the impact. And at some point or another, they're going to have to accept me.
Yeah.
Also, it's so funny to me, like, the fact that, like, men are still, like, kind of going after women in this time. It's like, do you realize you'd be everyone's favorite human if you were just like, you know what, girl, you do you. Even if you don't really align with people, it's like, if that's what you want to do, that's what you do. I don't have to align with it. But, like, you don't have to, like, go out and, like, personally attack people just because you don't see eye to eye.
Well, here's the kicker.
Do you know what I mean?
That guy said that to me on International Women's Day.
Which is also my birthday.
Also your birthday?
Yeah.
Who's your birthday?
Yeah, my birthday's on International Women's Day. Aww, every year.
Happy birthday.
Isn't that great? Thanks.
Your card's still in the mail. I think it's...
Yeah, whatever.
It's coming to you.
So,
to you.
Look. PG, you're the one to talk about this because you do have all the miles on social media, right?
Yeah.
You've done it all. So, what Pro Tour says is that, you know, there's people that are bitter. That is highlighted in social media, but I don't think it's necessarily the mass, the majority, right? Are you saying, I mean, where do you think?
It depends. So a lot of more traditional golf, not publications, but websites, or they were picking up the Daily Mail article and they reshared it. And Golf WRX, for example, shared it. And all of the comments were like, slut, whore, put your clothes on, you suck at golf. Like, so when you get in, all they do on that website is golf reviews and the technology of the clubs. And it's a very golf-centric community. And so in those communities, they hate me. In more of the outside communities, where it's more like a bar stool, more sports fans, they like me. And I think the thing that's frustrating is when I will defend myself, guys think that I'm playing the victim. Right. When a guy defends themselves, they're celebrated for going after it.
Yes.
And that's frustrating because I feel like I can never, one, defend myself because then I'm playing the victim and it's poor little me. And it's... I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to stand my ground, and I never do it in a way where I used to before, but now I don't, where it's, I don't say poor me. I own up to it. Obviously, if I wore turtlenecks or didn't show off my cleavage, then this would all go away. I know that. I'm not stupid, but I like who I am and I like what I wear, so I'm going to keep wearing it.
I'm going to say one other thing about the discrepancy, the misogyny in this. It's a little judgmental, but you are vulnerable when you say these things. You allow yourself. You are vulnerable by choice. You show your feelings. You are raw. That actually gives people, lesser people, an opportunity to get at you, to call you a victim. Let's see, your standard person's going to explain themselves and they're going to talk male and they're going to talk like this and they're going to say, you know, and they're going to say, you know what, they said I couldn't do it and I'm going to do it. I was taught, my mom told me this, yeah, and my dad told me this, or my teacher taught me this, and I'm going to do it, and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, fuck the system, go get them. But you're like, hey, look, this isn't fair. And my feelings are hurt. Everyone's like, victim.
Yeah.
It's literally that. It's your vulnerability.
It's
which
the way
I think,
you go about it.
Yeah, which
I think
know
is that
gold. I think it's gold. So don't change.
No, and I'm not going to. And I get a lot of questions from people like, why do you continue to put yourself in this situation if you're unhappy? Because of all of the messages that I'm getting, especially a lot from women who are in the industry. And I got a message from this one lady, and I'm going to keep everything private for her. But she said, I was working for a prominent golf company and she quit her job because they said, you're not going to make it any further because you're not a man.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. It surprises Pro Tour, but it doesn't
surprise. No, it makes me disappointed.
Yeah. It's not just from women who feel this way. It's also men who feel this way who are in the minority. I got a message from this guy and they said that he does well for himself and he's at this country club and he feels so scared to go there because of the looks that he gets and no one wants to play with him and they make racist jokes around him and then they'll turn to him and go, oh, no offense.
Oh, I know that too.
You know, and I get that we live in a world that everything has to be so politically correct and I know you can have fun with it, but people say things that are very hurtful. Where is that okay where you can still have fun and say certain things, or how careful do you have to be at all times? I don't know if I'm wording this the right way.
If you don't know the person, just don't speak upon it. If it's your friend where you can have a conversation and pull them aside, say, hey, friend to friend, I didn't feel comfortable. You're able to talk to somebody and approach them. If you're doing things on social media, you're hiding behind a mask. If you're doing things on the golf course, you're like golfing and like whatever, I feel entitled to do that. It's like the sense of entitlement is different than letting it be your community where you can crack jokes. It's like if you don't know the person, just don't speak things that may come off rude.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I think we're talking about, I think we've sort of blended two things because aren't you now saying that when do you draw the line with your friends on what you can say or let your hair down? Is that what you were saying?
A little bit of both. Like at what? So I feel like guys especially love being on the golf course because it's just an extension of the locker room for them. It's this time for them to bond and be together and they can just let their hair down. Do you think that that's okay, or do you think they always have to watch what they're saying and always be careful of not saying anything that's inappropriate, or how do you still preserve camaraderie without being offensive?
Okay,
that's the perfect way to say it.
All right, so I will tell you, and here's for me, you know.
Because I feel like a lot of guys don't want the way that golf is to change because they like the way that it is now, and I feel if they allow all these people on everything, they're going to have to be more buttoned up and they like it to be more of like that locker room mentality and
boys,
that feel
boys club.
A boys club. So how do you preserve that so they can still feel that way, but still also have it be welcoming?
Sure. Okay. So here's what I would say. I have a couple of different ways, you know, I'm a dad, so I have kids and I have a 7-year-old. So I got to watch what I say around home. I also was on TV for a long time. I had to watch what I had to say on TV. There were things I had to watch. And that's not saying racist things or misogynist things. You have to watch what you say. And on a golf course, I will agree with you. My hair gets let down. I get to say things. I maybe have a drink. I maybe drop a couple more F-bombs. I say stuff like this. And whether it's inappropriate or not, it's not like racist, misogynist stuff.
And I want to clarify that that's not what I'm condoning as good behavior.
Right.
But it's just like you were saying, letting your hair down a little bit more instead of feeling like they are always being watched or looked at. Because I think that's why guys are scared of losing that.
Yeah. So I will tell you this. I don't play with a lot of females because I don't know a lot of females that play golf. But one is actually... I've played with several times where it didn't matter if she was a male or female. It didn't matter to me for what was coming out of my mouth. It really didn't. I mean, she might have been a little offended by some of my language, but she wasn't. I mean,
no,
as long as
we've grown up in that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you and I talking right now. I mean, you're not going to be surprised. I'm not gonna shock you with something that comes out of my mouth.
No, I always think that's funny when I'm playing with a group of guys for the first time and they're like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm not shocked at all.
Right.
You don't have to say that. And that is what I'm talking about, where they feel like when they're playing with someone new that they have to apologize for what they're saying or what they're doing. And I don't want guys to feel that way.
Well, I will bet you this. I'm the public course guy. You know, I've played all over LA and I've played with a lot of different people in LA. You'd be surprised. I think everyone would kill to play with you, and not just because you're hot, but because you are an amazing golfer. I love watching you chip and putt. I just love watching it, right? I'm so jealous. But your hang is such a good hang, and you're sweet, but you're also funny, and you can mix it up, and you can it's not even talk like the boys. You can hang with the boys. I would say in the public round in LA, You'd be shocked at how much fun you'd have and how included you would be.
Mm-hmm. I think we should open this up to our listeners. If they have any opinions on this, if they could answer your question, what you think the line is, please email us at par@iheartradio.com and follow us on Instagram and DM us at Playing Around Podcast.
PG, is this your favorite segment or my favorite segment or Pro Tour's favorite segment?
I think this is Pro Tour's favorite. Whoa, am I allowed to call her that?
Yeah.
That kind of felt fun.
Absolutely.
Pro Tour, I like that. I think this is Pro Tour's favorite segment. It is, do you want to say it?
Oh, wait, do some music.
I don't.
Isn't that your
that's
thing?
Your
yeah,
thing.
But
we banned
guys,
him.
You remember you muted me when I did it last time.
I guess since we just talked about kind of being more kind, I'll be more kind of like, it's T-N-A with Paige and John.
That was actually pretty good.
See, I told you. I was
going to. I actually will allow that from now on. That is going to be the new opening for TNA from now on.
Wore you down. Wore you down.
Like
see?
A golden globe.
Love it.
I just like to thank God and my parents.
All right, Pro Tour, always God first, right?
Always. Yeah. Always. Okay, Jay Mitchell, 556. I am new to golf, been playing about 7 months now. My girlfriend is willing to try and learn. Any tips to make it more fun for her and keep her interested? Should I get her lessons so that she feels more confident?
This is going to be the same advice that you're going to use for getting your children into the game. Make it really fun. So have them drive the cart in the beginning. Don't take them out for 18 holes right away because that's just going to bore them. Take them out to a fun driving range. Take them out for an executive course or a par 3 course, something that's a little bit more fun, a little bit more light, and definitely get them lessons right away, especially with couples. I see this all the time where the guy is trying to help his significant other and he doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
He's getting frustrated. She's getting frustrated. And it just kind of ruins the experience, ruins the lesson. So get lessons right away. But one thing that's also very important is to get good lessons. Someone with a good instructor, because you don't want to start off the wrong way, because golf is hard enough as it is. And so to have good instruction to kind of guide you into it is a great way to do it. But just make it really fun and light, and especially with kids, have fun little games, like give them a piece of candy or get them into clinics, anything that's going to kind of spark that interest. Don't push them into it. Have them lead the way. And then from there, it's pretty much easy. Good to go.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to add two things. Number one, especially with your girlfriend or your wife or whatever, just because the pro is a reputable pro, that's great. And I'm sure they are. Your significant other needs to feel comfortable. And I don't mean like dangerous. I mean, she's got to like that kind of style of like the pro and the and
there's different
the girlfriend
types
need
of
to figure it out.
There's different types of teaching styles. Right. So some people are more visual. They are more of a feel. They will learn best from someone speaking. And so you just have to do kind of like an introduction lesson with that person. And I know sometimes women feel more comfortable with female instructors. So yep. Maybe seek out a female instructor at yep. first, especially because our bodies are just different. And there's things that you have to do. And a lot of guys don't want to, male instructors don't want to address that.
You got to hold them over the boobs.
Yeah, it's very hard to swing with boobs. And so even for my whole career, my male instructors never wanted to address that. And I finally just got to the point. I'm like, what do I do with my tits? Like, they're in the way. Help me.
Yeah.
And so now we figured out you can go over on your left hand and either over on your right or a little bit under. And then you move a little bit farther away from the ball and you're good to go.
Yeah, you should watch that video. It's really fun. One more thing with kids, because I've got a 7-year-old that I'm teetering on the idea. I love that you said clinics, because sometimes you're just dad. And if you are also coach, it sucks. But what I have found has been most effective is my kid loves to let the big dog eat, but he hated putting and he was crap at it until I surrounded the
quarter. I wonder
quarter.
Where he got that from.
His dad, PG. Good one.
I know. I'm funny too.
So I surrounded the quarter, the hole with quarters a foot out. And every time he dropped a ball within
you
that
keep
hole,
the quarter?
He got to keep a
oh,
quarter.
Oh, that's a good
And if
really
he makes idea. It, he makes a, he gets a dollar. So it was cash incentive. He loves the putting green. And putt for dough.
I love that.
Do you know what's funny? And I'm just going to keep it. I'm going to get
not,
real honest
not,
here
not
for a
Paige,
minute.
Not Paige. You said, what's funny? And I said, not Paige.
That was not funny. Next.
When I first read this, I was like, oh, this is like really nice of the guy. But now I'm on my period. I'm just going to be honest with everyone. I'm like, I would be kind of bothered if my boyfriend was like, I'm going to get you lessons. Like, so you could be better and up to my game. I'd be like, screw you. I'll learn on my own. So maybe just pick the time of the month to ask this.
Trust me.
Not touching that at all.
Oh, lessons. No, I mean, it's a real thing. I'm not going to lie.
What, periods? Or
yeah, and like your mood swings. Like some things 100%. Are like really precious and endearing. Other times it's like, where do you come off? You're not even that good of a golfer. Why
you have to address it the right way. And I think if you address it in the way, because I know exactly what you're saying. If you address it in the way, like, if I'm helping you and we're going to get frustrated and this isn't great for our relationship, this is the best way. And you can also take lessons too, so you guys can do it as a group activity. Mm-hmm. That's really great. But you have to address it in a really positive way and not like, I don't have time for you. I don't want to teach you, so that I'm getting you lessons.
Exactly.
Make it like,
it's all in the way you say it, boys.
Exactly.
Unfortunately.
Well, the truth is, pros are better. I mean, it's a hard game to learn. Well, you should go get professional lessons.
And like I keep saying, I see this all the time where a boyfriend will be giving advice and it's just not good. It's not good advice. And she's getting frustrated. I'm like, I would be frustrated too if my boyfriend is telling me to come from the inside and over the top. Like, no, don't do that. Right. So
agreed. Okay. This actually is a good transition from the last topic we just talked about on Twitter. I have long said that women golfers are really who men have to watch because they have the best fundamentals in their swings. I'm visiting the Palm Springs area in a couple of weeks. Is there any specific course you can recommend? Also, I get weirdly scared meeting new people and golfing with random strangers. Do you have any idea on how to calm my nerves or how to break the ice with them?
I've actually played in Palm Springs quite a bit because they have the first stage of Q School there. Uh-huh. And I played all the junior tournaments there. So I really love Palm Springs. Yep. Gets hot though, so you have to make sure you're going in the right time of the year
or early ass morning.
Yeah, or in the morning. But I really love it there. A lot of really good courses. Bighorn is an amazing golf course, Classic Club. They also have Cimarron, which is more on the lower end or less expensive, I should say. But you really can't go wrong with a lot of the courses there. Mission Hills, where they play the ANA Inspirational. And in that facility, they have the Dinah Shore course, yep, the Arnold Palmer course, the Gary Player course.
Jack.
Yeah, so they have all the courses there, and that's a good little area since all the courses are right next to each other. It's also in a really great location where there's a lot of food and places you can go out. So I would say probably stay around Mission Hills is probably some of the best places to be.
Yeah, and I would say this, Classic Club, if you play the Classic Club, make sure there's no wind. Because that is the windiest place, and they stopped. The Bob Hope was, they had a Bob Hope Classic was there. They had to cancel it because the wind is so, when it's bad, it's 40 to 50 miles an hour, maybe 60 miles an hour. I will say this. I love Shadow Ridge. It's a public course. It's Marriott. I've played there a billion times. Palm Springs golf courses are a lot of them are the same. It's you shoot down it's almost like a half pipe the whole way down, right?
I agree with that.
So both sides are it's like going down a half pipe, and all the developments, the houses are on either side. Shadow Ridge is not like that. Classic Club is not like that. And then, but I think public golf in Palm Springs is great.
I think it's some of the best public golf.
I agree, and it's well kept, it's well maintained. But I'm going to drop one. I played Plantation, which is a Uber private one. With Marty Schottenheimer, and that's my claim to fame. And you guys don't even know who Marty Schottenheimer is, do you?
No.
Well, actor or golfer?
He is a coach. He's a football coach.
Marty. For who?
Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, that's why.
San Diego Chargers.
Got it.
Well, that's pretty cool. And then
you guys, that's just okay.
No, it's so cool. We're so excited for you.
Yeah. And then I'm going to go get something to eat.
The next part of his question was how to introduce
break
himself.
The ice.
I think it's really easy when you're going as a single and you just get paired with people that you're playing with. It's kind of like what we were talking about.
Is this your first rodeo?
What are you doing with the chips?
He is.
Yes.
He's crinkling paper. Yes.
I said I was going to get some
his
to eat.
Chips while we are recording. The crunchiest and loudest snack you could have
ever picked
in your life.
I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry.
Go in the corner.
No, all right.
There's a dog bed right here for you.
That's okay. Now you're taking it too far.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's kind of like the advice that I was giving you where you just ask about their their equipment, golf equipment, that is. It's really easy to break the ice because you have this similar interest already,
right?
And it's golf. So obviously you can talk about golf, ask them a ton of questions. I think it's better when at the beginning of the round you make an effort to be kind and be nice and to ask them questions, because it can definitely get a little awkward when you feel like someone is standoffish and like they don't want to play with you, mm-hmm. or they're uncomfortable. But if they make that effort in the beginning, so on the first tee, ask them their name, where are they from, are you guys playing from out of town, just kind of break the ice. And one thing that's a big one is don't make any excuses about your golf game. I think that that's a huge turnoff for a lot of people when you're on the first tee. You're like, I haven't played in X amount of weeks or months, and I don't know how good this or bad it's going to be. Or if you hit a bad shot, they're like, oh, that's never happened to me before. Or I've never shot this bad before in my entire life. Just stop with the excuses. Mm-hmm. I think that when I'm playing, and I'm sure the same for Josh, you don't notice what the other person is shooting at all.
Right.
So if you keep pace of play, you're never going to be frustrated with the other person. So don't make excuses. I think that's a huge thing. And don't get really angry or upset as well when you hit a bad shot. That makes you look worse than mm-hmm. hitting the bad shot. Mm.
That's great. Okay, on to the next. From B Soars 23, what area do you spend the most time practicing? Driving irons, chipping / short game, putting? If I'm a 15 handicapper, where should I be spending my time during range?
All short game. I tell this for anyone. If you want to get better quickly, spend your time on the putting green and the chipping area in your wedge game. Everything that you do with your wedge game or your chipping is going to translate into your full swing, and it's going to make you a lot better. So you don't have to spend hours and hours beating balls, and doing that also doesn't translate well to the golf course. So you can get a lot of practice done in a short amount of time if you practice smart and practice what you need to. If you want to hit golf balls, go through your entire routine and really focus in on what you're doing. Don't just keep hitting ball after ball after ball. Go in there with a game plan. Either if you want to work on something, you work on that one thing, or you work to get better on the golf course, and that's going through your routine. So instead of hitting 100 golf balls, take 20 golf balls and put all of your focus in on those 20 golf balls. Same when it comes with like putting and chipping. Spend majority of your practice around the chipping green. You're going to save so many shots. I don't think people realize how many times they double chip or they hit it within, 18 feet instead of 10 feet. And that's so many shots right then and there that they can save. So majority of your practice should be, and another really great thing too is you can go later at night and you can chip and putt for 30 minutes, and it's the simplest thing you can do. And if that is something that doesn't interest you, by practice on the golf course. Get the very last tee time of the day or the very first tee time of the day, go and practice your short game on the golf course. That's the best practice you can possibly do. Play a couple holes, 3 holes, 9 holes, whatever you want, but practice on the golf course and be really focused with your practice on either the driving range and especially on the chipping and putting green. Josh just learned a lot. Don't ask his advice on this.
Yeah, this is actually my email. Thanks for answering. Next question. When is it acceptable to give swing / golf advice to a woman who may be struggling when you're on the range? I find this every time I go on the golf course, I really want to help. Not really only just women, but men as well.
Never. Never give unsolicited advice to anyone. It is, and unless you know exactly what you're doing and you're either a pro or you've played professionally, anything other than that, you should not be giving anyone advice. If they ask for it, then of course you can definitely do that. But I always find it very frustrating when I see someone who is even a good golfer, like a 5 handicap, go up to someone else and give them a swing tip or swing advice. And it's very uncomfortable as well, especially if you're a new golfer and you feel like people are watching you struggle, and then you have someone come up to you and give you a not great swing tip. Just don't do it. If anything, just say, hey, you look new to the game, or I can see that maybe you're struggling today. I work with this person. Here's his card if you want to go see him. I think that's the best way to do it, mm-hmm. is suggest them going to someone else. Do not give them swing tips, especially I have guys come up to me sometimes and give me swing tips, and it drives me insane. Absolutely insane, because they're like a 20 handicap telling me that my grip is wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. And if you want to break the ice and talk to me, don't give me a swing tip. And definitely.
Yeah, you just added the ice.
And definitely don't say, let's go play. And if I beat you, I get a date. Do not say that. Those are the two things that drive me absolutely insane. Just don't do it. I think there's better ways to go about it, but don't give anyone swing advice that you don't know.
I'm going to add just one more thing about it, because Pro Tour, I don't know if you know much about golf, but...
Well, clearly so not.
Let's talk about... Look, okay, so Golf Magazine, Golf Digest, all the golf books, every podcast, YouTube, everyone has golf tips. Do you know how many golf tips there are? Way too many. Way too many. And... Every edition of a magazine has to come up with new ones all the time.
Yeah.
Every TV show on the Golf Channel, every you still are making up new tips, because people think that one thing is going to cure their swing. It's not going to cure their swing. It's not even going to. It's probably going to put you two steps away.
That's actually a really interesting topic, because I believe that that's ruining the game. These continuous swing tips and swing things that they're doing, when someone. They're like, five tips to help you hit the ball farther. They do that. And next whatever publication is like, five other tips to hit the ball farther. And they're completely different.
Right.
And if you do one of them and the other one, they're going to clash. And then you're going to be completely lost.
So when I was in college, my whole goal was going to be that I was going to be a teacher and a coach. And I was going to coach golf. So I was teaching the beginning golf at the university. You know, you get like 0.5 units for beginning golf. So I was teaching this with my mentor, and I was putting together a binder about golf, you know, about all of the, it was part of my program I was in. And I had probably 300 of those Golf Digest and Golf Magazine tips, those one page tips. I had at least 300. I made a binder of it. I started looking through them and I was like, holy shit, this is the tip of the iceberg. And if anyone just read these 300, they would never want to play golf.
Well, when I was working with one of the publications, they're like, well, we want you to do five new tips for how to get out of the bunker. I'm like, I refused. I'm like, the other 20 million didn't work for them. Now this is going to work for them. Like, you can't keep giving people all of this information because they can't process it. Another thing is they don't have the time to practice all of these new things. There's so many different ways. And so on my YouTube, when I do a lot of instructional, I try to keep it as simple as possible, because they overcomplicate the game so much, and it drives me absolutely bananas.
Yep.
So I don't think we answered this question.
You did. Yeah. No, it was good.
In long form.
So to wrap this all up, we're ending with one email that responded to our last episode or the one before. On a golf injury story.
Okay.
So we really do read your emails, you guys. So please email us at par@iheartradio.com or DM us at Playing Around Podcast. Okay, so this is from J.027. I can't tell if that was an O or a zero, but I was headed to a golf trip in Florida. It had rained really hard the night before, so the golf course was soaking wet. We had just finished the first hole and we were stuck trying to head to hole two. I was standing behind the cart pulling out my driver, when all of a sudden another cart came around the bend to try to be funny and scare me and go really fast and slam on the brakes. It comes in full speed, but since it was too wet, the brakes slipped and pinned me between both carts. My shins were gashed and bleeding like crazy.
Dude, he's lucky he didn't break his legs.
I agree.
And people say that I am a disgrace to golf.
Oh my God. You watch. The amount of that happening, I've seen it happen a billion times.
Oh, it happens all the time.
Guys in golf carts with alcohol. That's all you got to say.
Yeah.
Like, they think that because they're not cars, they're something, they're toys.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It happens all the time.
Oh, that must have hurt so bad.
Could you imagine?
Is he good now? I'm assuming.
He's good. I mean, he's typing and being able to write in.
he's like legs up like this, all Everything's in casts.
Well, hang in there and keep icing if this was recent. If not, then you got a really good golf injury story. And if you have anything else to share with us, questions, any TNA, we are here to help you. When I say we, I mean Paige and Josh at PAR@iHeartRadio.com and DM us at Playing Around Podcast.
Good job, Paige.
Why do you always hit it back to me to wrap these episodes up? You know this is a struggle for me. My mind is going a mile a minute trying not to say like every 3 seconds, and I can't focus on how to wrap this up.
I just said good job, Paige.
But my I just went, well, what do I say now?
You don't have to say. You could have gone like this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. See you guys next time. Edit.
Follow Playing Around with Paige Renee on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.